WTIC. Todd with you. September 11th. I don't usually like to do topics based on historical days, but this one's intriguing. I turn on The View to check and see what they were talking about, because they're basically a talk radio show. Do you know this show? It's a bunch of women that get together and talk politics on TV. Whoopi Goldberg is the host these days, the lead host. And it's a really good place to gather some perspective on what's going on. And I turned on this morning and I heard this.
Many media outlets have stopped showing any footage of the actual attacks or the towers falling. And some TV shows and movies have edited out all images of the Twin Towers.
Retroactive correction of movies and TV shows to make sure the Twin Towers, the falling of the buildings, isn't shown. And some news programs apparently limiting the use. I wanted to get your reaction to this because they talk about triggering. And obviously it's an emotional day with people having a range of reactions to it. Certainly if you had a personal connection to it in terms of proximity or people who were impacted directly, like killed, it's very personal, and for others it's kind of an abstract thing that feels faded and distant. A lot of people describe it as not being so vivid anymore. The New York Times didn't view it as being very vivid. As a matter of fact, the New York Times did a tweet today that has caused a bit of outrage. This was the tweet the Times sent out this morning. 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. Today, families will once again gather and grieve at the site where more than 2,000 people died. Now, if you think about that statement from the New York Times, just like a left-wing news outlet, they don't want to mention that anybody committed this crime. They blame the crime on airplanes. 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. Remarkable. But here we are 18 years later, and history is being written over time. We always wonder how history happens. Who gets to write it? And to some extent, it's done piece by piece, day by day. One little line of narrative after another.
I understand why folks are not showing the Twin Towers falling over and over, because there's a lot of networks. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's like for me watching the Eric Garner tape, I just don't want to see it over and over and over and over again.
You don't want children to see that.
You know, you don't. But is it a good thing to edit it all out, or is it better just to...
I feel that they should ask that question of victims. You know, what do the victims of the tragedy feel should be done? And whatever they say is what people should follow.
Well, you might get a mixed review. I would.
So there's a couple of reactions. See, this is why The View is good, because they're not very thoughtful in what they have to say, and not very intelligent. And it makes it interesting to get that sort of middle America picture of people reacting but not really knowing what they're reacting to. So I want to get your input on that question in particular. The censorship of what happened on September 11th, what's your reaction to that? Do you think it's good for the media to interfere, to intervene, to say, you know what, those images were so violent and ugly that we shouldn't force people to revisit them? Is that the right thing in your mind for the media to do, or would you say the opposite? It's the responsibility of the media to replay those images to keep them alive. And so that's one question I want to ask you about September 11th. The other is, how does it feel to you now? Do you feel that it was... Well, first of all, is it still vivid for you? Do you have strong recollections and a visceral response to the events? Or is it more foggy and less emotional for you after all these years. And part two is, what do you want people to do? Hold on one second. Let me look at this. Oh, okay. Somebody just sent me a text. What do you feel about the way we reacted as you look back at 18 years of societal response, but particularly that first period of time after the attacks? How do you feel that we reacted as a country? What's the lesson looking back? The attitude towards Muslims, for example, the level of fear that we felt, the generalized level of fear and vulnerability, the passing of the Patriot Act, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. How do you feel now about all that? Do you feel that you made judgment problems, mistakes? In the way you reacted, did we as a society make mistakes? Do you feel that you got used in any way? For example, at the time, I supported the Patriot Act. I would never support that now. I know government so much better now, and I know that they can't be trusted for anything. And by the way, my producer, Mike, sent me a poll showing people's reactions to this. This is just like an aside on this whole idea of what you trust the government for and the Patriot Act and the expansion of those powers. I don't want the government to have those powers. They should be bare minimum. They should have to go to court. I feel strongly about that. This was a poll showing more Americans trusting law enforcement to use facial recognition software. It's like, okay, you know, we've gotten used to it. We don't care. You can have it. No, we shouldn't be that way. This is my reaction looking back. I feel like we got manipulated and used in terms of the political response, supporting things like the Patriot Act and supporting those wars. How do you feel? 860-522-9842. A lot to react to and a lot to think about September 11th. Mark calling from Windsor. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Todd. That Wall Street article, that article had me angry.
The New York Times, you mean?
Yes, thank you. Yeah,
okay.
New York Times. It had me angry because that's not at all what happened. And I don't understand how the psychology behind a person or entity to displace the blame of such an egregious, such a murderous act on displacing it to the object instead of putting it where the terrorists, the evil terrorists that committed that act. They just rewrote history because if you're 15 years old and you read that article, you think somehow a plane just accidentally flew into the World Trade Center.
Yeah, like somehow its guidance software got possessed by it's like its guidance software somehow got possessed by some sort of digital devil, and it was inadvertently driven into the buildings. I guess we lost. Is your signal bad, Mark?
Yes, it was for a minute.
Okay. I was saying it's like this, like it was done by accident, by a digital fluke or something. Not that this was an intentional act by terrorists who wanted to hit the buildings.
Exactly. And to me, and I think that, and I see that the Times rewrote history in a bad way. And you remember Emmett Till?
Emmett Till, yeah.
Yeah. I think his mom did a very courageous and smart thing by demanding his casket remain open.
Mm.
And it memorialized what actually happened and made it real. And to this day, like, I wasn't around then, but you and I are talking about that. And I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, it's great. Know? But why are you bringing that up with regard to September 11th? Link it together for us.
Thank you. The point is, the New York Times is they're closing the casket.
Oh yeah,
they're burying the story.
Yes.
And,
wow,
and
that's very well done.
Making up, yeah.
Well done.
I think that's a horrible, horrible thing for them to do. They ought to tell it like Islamic extremist terrorists, whatever, hijacked a couple of planes and flew them into World Trade Center bombing, the Pentagon, and other valuable assets around the United States.
All right. Thank you, sir, for the call.
Have a good one.
Appreciate it, Mark. 860-522-9842. Quick break. We'll take more calls on WTIC. So the New York Times tweeted out this morning, 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. Today, families will once again gather and grieve at the site where more than 2,000 people died. So they left out the perpetrator. They left out motive and guilt and the whole thing to make it this benign event where all the emotion's taken out of it as well. And what I thought this was a wonderful, really strong point that Mark just made. And he was comparing it to Emmett Till. And Emmett Till was a 14-year-old boy who was beaten to death in the mid-50s because he lived in Mississippi and he looked at a white woman, was the allegation. And he got, you know, he looked at her inappropriately, they said, and he was beaten to death. And his mother forced the whomever the authorities were, or I guess it was at the funeral home, she forced them to keep the casket open, even though he was disfigured facially by the beating he had taken. So good comparison there between those two things, the cover-up of the crime. No, you need to have it all there and raw, I think. And that's why it's good to show the footage, isn't it? 860-522-9842. It's good to see the World Trade Towers going down, isn't it? Important? Mike in West Hartford. Hi, Mike. Mike, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Todd. I'm in a crummy spot. I'll talk real fast about the not showing 9/11. We're in the same predicament with Ocasio, with Warren. They stopped teaching the evils of socialism in school, and so the kids aren't learning from history. Therefore, nothing's wrong with socialism. The people need to see the horror that happened on 9/11. If it happens somewhere, let's say 10, 20 years from now, the people will say, how come you didn't warn us? How come you didn't tell us that this was a possibility? Well, that footage was the warning, and it should be shown.
Yeah, I think you're quite right. Thank you for making that point, Mike. The challenge is, you need it to be shown, but you need it to also communicate meaning. And that's really difficult as time goes on and it gets depersonalized. It becomes just another in a long string of historical events. 860-522-WTIC. Tom calling from Burlington. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, Todd, I love that you brought up the passage of the Patriot Act in response to 9/11. And I, like you, didn't have a problem with it, foolishly, because I was whipped up into a lather response, we have to do something. Now, in retrospect, a lot of conservatives, a lot of liberals, and a lot of middle-of-the-road people find that ridiculous that we allowed that to happen. But, so, saying that, I want people to think about that now and compare it to these red flag laws that are now being brought up.
Okay, tie those two together for us.
Well, it's the same situation. You're whipped up into a lather, you're fearful and you're angered that these school shootings are happening and you want something done. So you'll give up rights in your fervor to get something done, but then in retrospect you realize, oh my God, what did I do here?
Right. So there's a media manipulation going on right now because the media is making the gun responsible for the mass shootings, just like the New York Times in their tweet this morning was making the airplane responsible for September 11th. It's very, very strange. And they use these events, they whip us up into a lather, they pass things that are inappropriate because they love to pass things that give them more control over us.
Yes. So I would like people that, in retrospect, like me and like you, that see the Patriot Act as, oh my God, how could I have ever not had a problem with that? I would like them to apply that logic to these red flag laws that are now being proposed.
Yeah, that's another good association. That's wonderful. I love you linking those two things together. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
860-522-9842. I was listening to a podcast this morning. Very intelligent woman being interviewed, who's a she's an activist on animal rights and farming, industrial farming. And she talked about how she wished, I'm just reacting to what Tom just said. She talked about how hard it is to have a conversation today and what a bad thing that is. That she wishes she had people she could reach out to who she totally disagrees with so that she could find out, so she could connect and find out what they believe. And that's what's so valuable about these conversations. If you don't have access to each other, If you allow the political machinery to brainwash you because you belong to one side or the other, then you don't get the full story and you live according to a narrative that is being implanted in you. The implantation of narrative is what politicians are always trying to do. And hopefully you've come to understand this, as I have over recent years. There's been a ton of conversation and a new focus on the power of stories and how the human mind lives and works and functions and processes through stories. And it's really easy for politicians to say the same thing over and over and over every day, in order to brainwash us, in order to get us worked up into a lather, whether it's we have to pass the Patriot Act or we have to pass red flag laws. It's dangerous, this kind of rhetoric that's trying to get us to act emotionally, which is where the politicians want us. They want us so scared of terrorist attacks. If you think back 18 years, they wanted us so scared that they'd be able to pass the things they wanted to pass. Patriot Act, wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. How do you view that now in retrospect with all these years gone by and with all the understanding that those years provide, with all that perspective? 860-522-WTIC. Let's get a news update, then continue on News Talk 1080. Yes, indeed.
Power to the people.
And what they're looking for when they deceive us and get us worked up into a tizzy, they're looking to take our power away. No, they're looking to get us to willingly give it up. It's awful when we go along with the scam. And after September 11th, I feel like that's what happened with the Patriot Act. And we just heard the proposal from Tom in Burlington that makes perfect sense. Same thing is going on right now with guns. 860-522-WTIC. What do you think? Mike in Newington. Hello there.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little bit confused. The Second Amendment refers to a well-regulated militia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean state by state? Federal as in the National Guard, or federal as in a standing army?
It refers to state by state, is my understanding.
Okay, so in other words, each state, now,
Yeah, that's how we fought the Revolutionary War. We didn't, you know, we were taking the same approach, and the idea was centralized power was feared. The original government that was formed was too weak. They made it stronger fairly quickly when they realized it wasn't manageable. One of the things that wasn't manageable was having a military that was a hodgepodge. But we were coming from a point of view of the people needed to be in charge and the states were the sovereign. That was the only way to protect us from a big, destructive central government like you see in Hartford, like you see in Washington.
Has there ever been a Supreme Court decision as to how that term is applied?
Well, yeah, there was a big case a few years ago, and they ruled that that the right to bear arms was a right to bear arms. It wasn't restricted by that phrase. Heller, okay. I think, was the case.
I appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for the call. 860-522-9842. Mike in Mike hung up. Mark. Hello there, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd. So I got a couple of comments. One is that the New York Times article or Twitter feed, whatever it was I was incensed when I saw what they originally wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprised by it, but incensed. And it's an attempt to water down. It goes beyond political correctness. It's an attempt to, like, rewrite the whole narrative and deflect from what the real perpetrators, you know, or who they were.
It could be, you know, it could be a deliberate attempt, or it could be that this is the world they live in, that their brains feel so narrowed that they can't, they're afraid, oh, if I say something about Al-Qaeda, then I'm opening up a can of worms, and some people might say, well, it wasn't really Al-Qaeda's fault, it was the U.S. government's fault, or whatever. Like, they live in this world of political correctness. I can't say what their motive is, but the result of what they're turning out is inaccurate journalism.
Yeah, I think you're giving them too much credit. I think they're smarter than that. And in terms of showing the events of 9/11, you know, the things that occurred on 9/11, I think every anniversary it should be shown. There should be we should have to look at that, you know, for the rest of time. National Geographic has run some documentaries in the last day or so, and I've been watching them. It's terrific to look at. It brings me back to that day and how I felt that day, and I think it's important that we keep that in front of the American public.
What did you feel that day? What is the memory that, the legacy of the day that other people might also feel?
Well, for me, it was a feeling of you know, personal attack as a citizen of the United States. And, you know, and it was just, I felt a little powerless at that point because, you know, you're sitting in your office, you're watching it on TV, you know, you're not in New York City, you can't respond other than to watch and, you know, try to figure out, you know, how to respond in the, you know, the days that would come, and a feeling of powerlessness. And when I look at what we did in Afghanistan, I do agree on our incursion into Afghanistan in an attempt to find the people and bring them to justice. I've never been supportive of the war in Iraq. I don't think people were. I honestly don't think that government officials and our intelligence agencies were trying to lie. I think they, based on the best intelligence they had, they thought they were weapons of mass destruction. But I think it was a mistake to invade Iraq. I think there could have been other ways to take care of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Most people say that about Afghanistan, I think if you look at Afghanistan strategically, that you had these people basically running these out-of-doors training centers for terrorists, right? That's what Al-Qaeda had going on in Afghanistan. And what a perfect opportunity to make it impossible for them to function using our high-tech military and never set foot on the ground.
Yeah, I think we lost our focus on what we should have been doing in Afghanistan when we invaded Iraq and it became a much more complicated situation. I agree with you. I think it could have been more limited. But I think we should have done what we did in pursuing bin Laden and his key leadership people and the people that followed them, and should continue to do that because they're still a threat.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Good to hear from you. 860-522-WTIC. Paul next in Plymouth. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Todd. It would be nice if, along with those images and repeated images, and I probably should give you the context of our increased militarism and special ops interventions all over the world, and our perpetual war footing. With that context, with those images and the spoon feeding of what those images represent, those images were widely distributed to school children with much PTSD and much angst, where their parents had to explain to them. Now, that is representative of the school systems having a total disregard for parents, maybe reserved reaction.
Be more specific. What did the were they showing loops of the towers falling in grade schools or in
yes,
kindergarten?
Yes, all around the country, and of course, when parents watch stuff on TV themselves and subject their children, even with their approval, because you know it's a nonstop. It's just a nonstop media, technology, society we live in. And there are, in many cases, little restraint as to what the little ones see,
mm-hmm.
including pornography. So a lot of people would say that these images represent a form of pornography, a self-indulgence that is about glorifying militarism. It's about burying your head in the sand when it comes to the deaths that we perpetrate based on our interventions. The drone war has certainly increased since 9/11, and I guess 9/11 probably was a justification for that.
Paul, thank you for the call. Good to talk with you as always. 860-522-9842. Were we duped on September 11th? Was the machinery of government put into a people mover mode? I think of those things like if you go to a big mall or a big airport, they have those escalators that don't go up. They just go straight. I feel like they use big events, like the way the left is using school shootings to create a frenzy and then be able to funnel that frenzy into a political action that they would otherwise not be able to achieve. That's what the Bush administration did after September 11th in order to get us to go to war and to pass the Patriot Act. Is that how you view it? 860-522-9842. Let's go to Bob in Waterbury. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Todd. We're all around the TV screen the same day, and I know Paul, I listen to him a lot of times. They said specifically, don't show your children this. I don't know where he got that every TV station was saying, show your children this. What I remember is they said, don't show your children this.
Well, that certainly makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would want to show 5- and 6-year-old. My daughter was 7 years old, and she didn't realize why I was crying. And I said, well, I'll explain it to you in about 10 years. And I did.
Simple as that. Wait, what a great dodge that is, Bob.
Yeah. She goes, why are you crying? I said, and first of all, she said, why are you home from work so early? I was delivering oil up to ONG Industries up in Torrington, and I was driving up the highway, and I got to the place there. I go, the guy, Billy, I go, man, they just said a plane hit the World Trade Center. So So we start pumping on the oil, and about 20 minutes later, I go into the cabin and go, another plane hit the other ones. And now you know that I said, Billy, I don't think this is right, you know. But when I got home, we went back to work in Waterbury, and everybody said, go home, because you know this wasn't just some fluke.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to this day, I didn't say nothing to my daughter at the time, you know. So as far as showing the videos, I don't know, that's kind of rough, but, you know, young kids that haven't been through World War II, World War I, the Korean War, they don't know, you know, they just know their computers.
Well, that's a really interesting point. Okay, Bob, thank you. Good call. Okay. It's good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Yes, if you did not fight in World War I or World War II, or have never fought in a war, then of what emotional impact is seeing video of tanks rolling in World War I and everybody in there, the uniforms of the day, which look kind of odd in retrospect, you know what I mean? It's very interesting. There's a fine line between triggering people emotionally, which is the way they were talking about it on The View, because you're showing the video of September 11th so much, and making it devoid of emotion because you show it so much. What are your thoughts? We'll continue in just a minute on WTIC. Yeah, it's WTIC. We are looking back over the 18 years and trying to figure out what we've learned, what we know, and what we feel, given that we have this perspective, given that we've learned so much more about how corrupt and dangerous government is, and how I hope we have. Boy, oh boy, if we haven't learned that. Jim in Southington, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a parent of three kids. My youngest was 7 when that happened. It's called parental discretion. Okay, you are the one that is in charge. And like the further guy before me, my son saw me cry for probably the first time in his lifetime. And I told him that someday he'd be told what was going on. He thought I was sick at the time, and then basically was brought up to speed at the appropriate time. This is the problem with the general public. We want to sugarcoat everything. And your point is well taken. If you ever watch any documentaries of those poor people in Poland, Germany, or Hungary, those kids went through hell and back. And some of them, yes, were marked for life, but others rose to the occasion.
I find that, I say this a lot, so forgive me for that, but I find that kids who struggle in life, I'm not saying this is a struggle, but thinking about what you just said and people who were traumatized by World War II, one of the bad things about our avoidance of trauma for young people is that trauma is a real part of life, and life is about how you respond to the problems, not about how wonderful everything is.
Absolutely. And to your point, that younger son is now a crew chief on a C-130 in the Air Force.
Wow, that's a beautiful story. Congratulations on that one, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you for being willing to share the emotion of that with us. 860-522-9842. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's what I love about radio. It's so intimate. It's right there. It's so real and visceral and immediate. Thank you so much, Jim. Nate is next on WTIC. Hi, Nate.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
I'm good.
So I was just hearing your other caller saying that they didn't televise the broadcast of that day in schools. So I'm 30 years old, which means I was 12 during 9/11. I was in eighth grade, and I was in history when the towers fell.
Yeah.
And our history teacher just said flat out, like, I know you guys might not understand this, but this is world history, so we're turning on the TV. No hesitation from the principal, and when we finally realized what was going on, I didn't understand it because I'm 12 years old. I'm like, hey, where's my Xbox? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand what was going on. But looking back on it now, like, I got home that day and my dad, like all your other callers said, my dad, that's the first time I've ever seen him cry. And I didn't understand, but it was a crazy, crazy day. But
yeah. So how do you look back on how that impacted you, that your classroom looked at the live coverage?
Oh, well, most of the kids that I went to high school with ended up going into the service, as well as my brother, because they were impacted by that day. In a sense, like all the seniors that I've talked to since then, most of them have went into the military and served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and luckily most of them have came back alive. But it wasn't so traumatic for me because, like I said, I didn't understand what was going on. But looking back on it now, I'm glad that our history teacher showed us that just to be in that moment, I guess you could say, with everyone.
All right. Thank you, Nate. Good to hear from you and hear those thoughts.